Morning, and you'll need to keep your Bibles handy a little bit for the sermon. Beyond that, 1 John chapter 2, let's begin there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in 1 John. 1 John 2. Let's look down to verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I can start with verse 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, that is the children of disobedience. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's take this back to 1 John chapter 2. That is our text. And having done that, we can bow for a word of prayer. Now, Father, appreciate the folks that are here this morning and the labors that have gone into the last few months. It's been a busy summer, and that will continue here for a bit. We're grateful for being useful to you in these days when folks are without light and there's no salt in the earth anymore, it seems, and everything goes awry, and sure seems like the devil's in charge. But Father, we know the God of heaven. We sure do appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ. And we come to you, Father, knowing that we're called now, and what you've called us out of is out of this darkness. You have allowed us to be denominated strangers and pilgrims in this earth. And Father, we're now different. And if we're not different, we're called to be. I pray you might just open our eyes to some things this morning. Maybe we can sit and rejoice in what we have a chance to partake in, Father, and maybe this is already real to everybody. I hope it is, but if somebody here is lost, I pray you deal with their hearts. And we certainly pray these things, Father, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I call your attention to 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, where in the middle of the verse it says, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. John boils down a lot of good stuff into about four words. The darkness is past. Peter jumps aboard and adds some stuff, and Paul jumps aboard and adds some stuff. There's that darkness is actually one of the great themes that wins its way through all the scriptures. And it sure is great to be delivered from the power of darkness. We'll discuss that more in a second. It's really good news for those of us that approach the darkness when we were without light, and we discover that the darkness was darker than we expected. A lot of folks here have stories to tell. Some were saved in youth and young and didn't experience the very depths of darkness. Others of us approached closer than we should have and got entangled enough in darkness to know that the depths of it go far deeper than we even wish to understand. And so that being true, it's a good thing that the darkness is past. There's maybe no better illustration of salvation and damnation than light and darkness. From Matthew chapter 22 and Matthew 25, we learn that eventually the abode of the damned in hell is a place called outer darkness. So just darkness forever. believe me, you won't enjoy the fellowship of your friends there. Peter talks also about the angels that fell into darkness, and there they are kept under chains of darkness and in the midst, not the midst, the mist of darkness. Furthermore, Jude mentions the blackness of darkness forever. And finally, we're assured that when the Lord destroys the kingdom of the beast, that kingdom is filled with darkness. And so it's not a surprise to you that beast being the incarnation of Satan himself, that entire kingdom will be just be darkness. So the end of the great tribulation, this world is just in the blackness of deceit and darkness. And it sure is good to be delivered from that. Most children have aversions to darkness. Most of us grew up at some level or another afraid of the dark, and nobody really wants to go off into a slimy, cold basement in the dark. Nobody enjoys that particularly. Blindness is one of the things that sometimes challenges people. It's one of it's one of the most dreaded conditions that anybody could ever have, to be in darkness forever. The blindness. I want to mention too, the average person does not enjoy hour upon hour upon hour of darkness. You know, people in Seattle go a little nuts. That's why. Well, you see the results. But where there's no light, folks generally have a tough time. Amen? Now, John declares spiritually that the darkness is past. Now, you'll note it does not say the darkness is over, that the darkness is gone. It says the darkness is past, and he adds to it, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Amen. Now, I have a few years on some of you, not too many on many of you, but in what years that I've had, I never grew up without electricity. So, you know, we had bathrooms and everything else, and plumbing and everything, people. And so I never lived without, you know, a light switch. What I learned was this valuable lesson. When you turn the light switch off, the darkness automatically envelops you. I know that's really deep. I can tell you're still thinking about that. And it's just the truth. Wherever the light isn't on, the darkness completely engulfs you. Now, John is talking spiritually about darkness. And so we know where we stand, I think, most of us. The Son of Righteousness has not yet risen with healing in his wings. Jesus Christ has not yet come back, correct? And so he is not living here on earth as the light of the world. And so we get that. We also know that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. We know we're on the brink of the second coming of Christ. But right now what we live in is the nighttime. And so by proxy, it's dark. It's dark. Now, with that said, you've got to keep the light shining. And we know what the light is, I think, today. We know that the light is the Word of God. I can add to this that when Christ was here, he said, "I am the light of the world." He said that you're now the light of the world since he's gone. So is the deal that we just show up and the lights come on? Well, it's hardly that, because the real key is something else. The real key is the Word of God. It says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture." So the Scripture's the light that shines in the dark place, right? And I would say this to you, I would say that where we stand right now, yes, Christ is the light of the world, but he's in heaven or in our bodies, and so we are therefore the light of the world, but a Christian without the Bible is not shedding any light. And so this is a very simple precept we have here. John sets forth the proclamation that because the darkness is past, okay, the darkness is past, but I'm going to preach that while the darkness is past, and I'm sure glad it's past. I'm sure glad that there's now power over that darkness. There's something else that's true. You have to keep the lights on. And you showing up in the room doesn't make the room light. It's the Bible in you that makes the room light up. And so let me preach to you for just a little while on the darkness is past. And we'll emphasize this matter over and over again. The darkness is past. So the power of darkness is past. Well, that's a blessing. Because darkness holds this power over things. Jesus Christ bled and died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. On that cross, He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And the Bible says that having spoiled principalities and powers, now that's the devil, that's the wrong kind of light. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so the power of darkness is past, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So the power of darkness is past. He breaks the power of canceled sin, our song says, right? And we're glad for that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We now have power because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That power comes from the light. It's the power of light over darkness. The light is the Word of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. You see, let me explain to you what didn't happen. I'm glad the darkness is past. That means that the power of darkness is past. But I think you'll agree with me, this is not what happened. As I flow through this, Christ did die, Christ was buried, Christ arose. And when He arose, Jesus Christ took that news. That news flooded the streets, and people flooded the streets of Jerusalem, and they saw the light, and they were never the same again. I mean, the gospel flowed, the light flowed out into the streets, and it went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to all of Israel to Syria to Asia Minor, crossed the Aegean Sea over into Greece and into Rome and spread through Europe and went all other directions as well. I mean, as fast as horses could run, as fast as boats could sail, the gospel spread, the light spread, and wherever men heard it, province after province, county after county, country after country, men's lives were never the same again. Only that's not true. That's not quite the way it happened. Don't look now, but mankind is as bad off today as he was in Christ's day, right? And the reason why is not because of the light. The reason why is because they did not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They did not turn to the light from the darkness. Is that right? Isn't that the problem? Don't we send the gospel light, and in places where they don't receive the gospel light, they remain in darkness as if Christ had never risen from the dead? That's the way it works. Light is coming in the world, and men love darkness rather than light. He was in the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. He came into His own, but His own received Him not. But to them that received Him, to them gave He power over darkness to become the sons of God, right? I'm glad the darkness is past, because that means the power of darkness is past. For me, the power of darkness is past. Folks, what most people underestimate is the power of darkness to capture and recapture somebody that might have even escaped. Haven't you discovered that a few times in your backslidden life after you were saved? Haven't you gone back deeper into the shadows, deeper into darkness than you would care to admit? And you felt once again that power reach out and grasp that ankle and start to get a hold? Most of us have been there. Is that correct? I'm not talking about you not being saved. I'm just talking about the power, the shadows deepening. And the power of that darkness once again clasping at your lapels and dragging you back and kind of dragging you down and being a weight and being a burden. That's what we all live with here. Sin has a weight. The power of darkness has a weight. I should take you to a passage here. Look in Colossians real quick. Let me take you to Colossians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 26. Colossians 1, Acts 26. I almost neglected to show you this. Colossians 1, notice down in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been given power over the darkness. Notice Acts chapter, 26? Did I say 26? 26, 18, please. And this was Paul's commission to give, to open their eyes, the Gentiles' eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, I've opened their eyes. I seek to turn them from light to darkness if they'll come. But if they don't come, they remain in darkness. And for a Christian that is delivered from darkness but desires to return, the darkness once again regains some power. Now, folks, what I'm trying to get at here is that without your Bible, the Bible is light, okay? It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The power that you and I have over things practically in this light resides, as we said this morning in Sunday school, between the pages of this book. And when you walk away from the Bible, you're walking away from the light. And so when the light goes out, the darkness immediately closes back in. It is as true as ever it has been today. You build a fire high, and the higher the fire is built, the more light that shines, and the further and you have to go out to get into the darkness. But where the light starts to fade, where they start to undermine your faith in the Word of God, then the darkness creeps closer and closer. And then as you gradually allow that light to fade and you're not the light of the world because the Word of God is not living in you, then what happens more and more is that that darkness creeps back in. So I want to say, first of all, that it is really good news that the darkness is past. It's past because the power of darkness is past. But you control that power. You control how much Bible you absorb. You control how much Bible you read. You control how much Bible you practice. The Satan doesn't control that. God doesn't control that. God doesn't make you do anything. You control the light. And so, if the light goes out, you can find yourself right back in the place you were in. You know, we fought a horrible war in the 60s and 70s called Vietnam. And one of the things that happened in that war, a very unpopular war, was that American fighting forces would fight over a hill and at great loss oftentimes take that hill from the Viet Cong and then the next day walk off the hill and turn the hill back over to the Viet Cong. That is effectively what happens. Though you are eternally secure in Christ, when you trust Christ as your Savior, if the light doesn't shine, the darkness just comes back in. Right? So let me take you to something else here. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the darkness is past. That means something. It means from Colossians 1 and Acts 26, that the power of darkness is past as long as you wield the power. As long as you let that light shine, And the moment this light doesn't shine, the darkness is whoop. It almost makes a sound coming back in, whoop. But we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you something else. The darkness is past. That means the power of darkness is past, which is a blessing. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world, now that's not big G God, right? That's little g God. That's the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now, the minds are not just blind. They've been blinded. There's an active force, an active element working to blind the minds. To whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And look what happens. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you used to be in darkness. Darkness filled your heart. Darkness filled your mind. You probably were the breeding ground for very dark emotions and affections. Most of us, you know, we don't talk about these things an awful lot, but anybody that's laying on their bed at 2 and 3 in the morning in the nighttime for very long knows there's some deep, dark stuff deep down inside, right? And most of us, again, don't want to talk about it too much, and that's all fine. You go talk to the Lord about that. But there's some dark stuff down in there. And, you know, there's this mystery of the darkness. You notice from verse 2, hidden things of dishonesty, craftiness, deceitfulness, the truth not being manifested. Here you have in verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds. I mean, there's a deceitful, active, malignant, malicious activity involved there in trying to keep the light from shining. There's something hidden. There's this mysterious element. And I just want to say that we now know what that mysterious element is. The mysterious element is Satan. From the power of Satan unto God, right? We've been delivered from the power of Satan unto God, from the kingdom of darkness. It says there then in verse 6, so this is where it gets lighter. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, I say the darkness is past. That means the power of darkness is past. As long as you keep the light on. In verse 6, so the mystery of darkness is past. Where did all this hidden stuff, this dark, malignant, cancerous, vile, vulgar stuff come from? Down deep in the dregs of your heart. Where did that come from? We were all born the same. We were all born innocent little babies. So where did that junk come from? Somebody inspired it down in there. And the inspiration of it came so that one day he could drag it all up, have you think about it, and it mess with your head so you would be blind and not receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know how most of us lived. I got saved when I was 10 years old. Those that got saved at 20 or 30 or 40, You experienced darkness probably at a deeper level than I experienced it. I got saved at 10, but then the darkness came back and got me because the light didn't shine. And so I was reacquainted then with the darkness and was much more acquainted with the darkness than I was the Lord for over 10 years of my life. And I say that to say this. When you were lost, you never really solved the mystery of that darkness. See, there's this thing that people go through life. They are what? They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're the devil's children. They're deceived in their minds. But all kinds of things. Is that correct, biblically? Okay. So, the average lost guy living in Minnesota, going to the state fair, drinking beer and throwing down enough cheese curds to float a battleship. He's got his health still. He's got a wife that loves him. He's got kids. He's got grandkids that love him. He has a lake cabin and a boathouse and all kinds of toys in the boathouse and got a 6-car double deep garage. He's got packed full of stuff. He's getting ready to retire and he's as happy as a man can be. The problem is it's kind of an unhappy happiness because there's still this mystery. What's this thing that's wrong? It's just not, I like my boat, but I would like another boat better. What's wrong with me? I wanted this boat. So I'm mortgaged enough away to get that boat. So now why do I want another boat? Because that was the boat I wanted. What's wrong with me? It's kind of an unhappy happiness. It's kind of a dissatisfied satisfaction. I'm happy in a unhappy sort of way. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Why am I like that? Well, I read a interesting book one time. I talked about how some of the CIA operatives as well as some of the special forces were trained in a certain exercise where the CIA or the special forces would go and rent a massive warehouse or sometimes a low-ceilinged silo, so the silo is bigger around than it is tall, 100 feet or so. Black it totally out. They would put one of their operatives in there. And then for their trainees, they would also black out the opening to get in so that somebody would actually enter into darkness, total darkness, without revealing themselves. And they would send a guy in. They already have an operative inside. He can position himself anywhere he wants to. And they send another guy in. It's totally blacked out inside. And those two guys are supposed to find each other, and the winner comes out. Now, plainly, that has deadly implications in the real world, right? If they have to ever do that in combat, one's going in, and only one's coming out, right? And so they train guys that way, and, the difference between you and this training session for CIA operatives and so on is that your enemy is the Prince of Darkness. And he can see in the dark. And so you're born into this life and the darkness sets in. And you have to enter this room where your enemy abides. He can see in the dark, and you can't. He knows the rules of the fight. He has laid wait for thousands and thousands before you. And so there are things that start coming at you in the darkness. You can't see. You have no insight. You don't know the rules. I mean, look how people die. They're just going to die and see what happens. I mean, really? So you enter into this dark, completely blacked out warehouse, and the devil's in there. And he can see. And he's played this game so many times before. And you can't see. All you can do is react when something happens. And as you well know, he toys with you in there. He plays with you. It's like a cat and mouse. He plays this game with you, and you're helpless, and you can't see, and he's over there, and then he's over there, and then he throws a rock, and you think he's there, but he's there. And you can't see, but he can see. He's used to this game. So there came a day in our total helplessness that the Lord enters the room, turns on the light, and all of a sudden now, the mystery of the darkness is past. Because now you can see what he's up to. Now you can see what he's been doing. Now you can see where he is. One day the light shone out of darkness, and the darkness receded. And you know, for you and the devil, the darkness will remain, what will stay receded back into the shadows as long as you keep the light on. But the moment that you walk away from that book, and can I just add in here, just for self-service sake, that you ought to be in church every time the church is open if you can, because the light shines, and you say, well, but I've heard it all before, and you learned every lesson before, right? Nothing should ever have to be repeated for you because you learned it all before. If I were you, I mean, aren't we children of the, don't you want as much light as possible? Don't you always kind of hate to see the sun go down after such a beautiful day? We had some beautiful days up at the cabin. The sun goes down over the trees there on the lake, and it's orange for a long time. It's just cool, you know. Oh, man, it had to sink. We had to wait 24 more hours to see it. Kind of hate to see the day recede, you know. And the point, ladies and gentlemen, is that the darkness has passed. So the power of darkness has passed as long as you keep the light on. And the mystery of the darkness is past. I'll tell you this. If you let the Bible go, and if you quit rehearsing what you've already learned and quit learning more things that you should learn, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The mystery is going to overtake you again. And you're not going to know why things are happening the way they're happening. And what could it possibly mean? And why am I experiencing this? I'd like to add something else to that. Look, if I could, you would rather, to John 12 and 1 Thessalonians 5. John 12. And 1 Thessalonians 5. The darkness is past, so praise the Lord. Well, so first of all, the power of darkness is past then for a Christian with a Bible. And the mystery of darkness is past for a Christian with a Bible. Just hang on to the Bible. But now that we're in John 12, go down to verse 35. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Notice there, talking about himself being the light of the world. He said, but lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. There's some things he doesn't know. See that? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Down in verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That is, a New Testament Christian knows some things that lost people don't know. as long as he holds to the light. And what that indicates is that, yes, the darkness has passed, so the power of darkness has passed, so the mystery of darkness has passed, and so something else that should be passed is the uncertainty of the darkness. There's uncertainty in darkness. Uncertainty is one of the torments of the darkness, I think, just not knowing. How do folks live not knowing? I'm not quite sure I know how I made it through not knowing. Again, saved at 10, but knew virtually nothing. So lived well up into my early 20s before I started getting light for the first time in my life. And I want to say that I did not live well not knowing. I was one miserable sod not knowing. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Why did that happen? Where do I go from here? How do I make a decision? How do I know what's right? Man, who do I marry? How am I supposed to find a wife or pick a wife or find a companion or pick a companion? You know, things that trouble people still to this hour, they make bad decisions, and those decisions cripple them then for the rest of their lives. And the uncertainties just keep getting worse and worse, and the insecurity just keeps getting worse and worse, and they just make worse and worse and worse decisions, right? Well, if the darkness is past, then the power of darkness is past. The mystery of the darkness should be past. And I should say the uncertainty of the darkness should be past. I can say this, too. After I got things right with the Lord and discovered the light again, I'm not saying I got resaved. That doesn't happen. But I was reacquainted with the Lord. I will say that getting things squared away with the Lord for me was a more emotional, powerful experience from my perception than getting saved. Got saved at 10. Yeah, I'm in it. Cool. I'm not going to hell anymore. I didn't even fully realize why I was going to hell anyway. I didn't know the depths of my heart then. But by 22, oh yeah, I got it now. Right? My point, folks, is that I did not live well being certain. I was a head case and unsuccessful at what I tried. And didn't deal with the uncertainty well. And I want to say being certain is a reality to me now every day. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Right? We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I know that. I know if I die this afternoon where I'm going to be tonight. I know it. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. This life will be filled with sorrow, tears, and pain, along with some good stuff, until the rapture comes and gets us out of here. We know this. I mean, I know it. I know that we know in part. And we prophesy in part. I know there are some things I'm not going to fully grasp, that I'm not going to experience. I know that we know in part, and that there's the rest of it I'm going to have to trust God for. I know that it is the last time. I know that I am of the truth, because I am of the book. And if I misunderstand something in the book, I can be wrong. But as long as I'm with the book, I'm of the truth. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I know what I am. I know what I'm capable of. And I know what I'm worth. And it ain't much. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I know the truth. I know what God thinks because I know what He said. I know what God has judged about a whole bunch of things in this life. I know His exact feelings on some things in this life. I know these things. The darkness does not hold uncertainty for me because I'm not bound in it anymore. The light has shined forth, and now I am not uncertain. I know. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, as one that beateth the air. I'm not fighting this battle like a windmill. I may not be a classic boxer, but I ain't going about it as a fool either. Right? I am made certain of the words of truth from this book. As long as the light shines, not only is the darkness past, but the uncertainty of darkness is past. I know. And you know, you have to go back to that foundation every single morning. Because for a lot of people, every morning the devil meets you and says, you couldn't possibly be saved and think what you thought on your bed last night. It's just true. But I say, no, I have it written. I am saved. I will be wrapping this up here pretty quick. Look in John 3. I have four more points, but they'll go quick. Really, truly. Look in John chapter 3. If the darkness is past, then first, the power of darkness is past. Secondly, the mystery of darkness is past. Thirdly, the uncertainty of darkness is past. As long as the light shines. If the light goes out, if you let it go out, if you're like Eli at the tabernacle back in the day of Samuel, and you let the light go out, then the darkness comes sweeping back. Whoomp! And that you're back engulfed in darkness. In John chapter 3, just real quick here, a couple other things, two or three other things. Verse 19, this is the condemnation that light is coming into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The love of darkness should be past for a Christian. It should be. Your love for the darkness. Kids, by nature, don't like the dark very much. Most adults would rather not operate in the darkness. You get really irritated when the lights go out and you have to light a candle and you're always banging your shins on the coffee table and stuff like that, right? So most of us don't like that at all. The love of darkness is an unnatural thing. It's a cover for something. When people come and want to argue about the Bible, maybe they'll argue out of ignorance, more or less objective ignorance. Some of them come and they want to win an argument and nothing more. But in the main, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The main reason the people that call and cuss us out about putting a gospel tract on their car is because they do not want the light. They prefer darkness just as they live it. If you're lost, you don't have to use the darkness as a cover. You ought to think about that. If you're, say, a member of a big religious outfit and you know the church is dead that you're in and nothing light ever comes from it, but it's a comfort to you because there's a bunch of other people involved and you know you're pretty sure God's going to honor that one day at judgment. Well, I just want to say you don't have to use the darkness to cover up. First of all, the Lord knows everything about you anyway. You haven't hidden anything from Him at all. and knowing all that he knows about you, you know what he still says? He says, come. Knowing everything he knows about you, he still says, come. And you know, he never kicks anybody else that comes. Never kicks anybody out. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll just come honest, and if you'll just come to the light, just keep crawling towards the light, he says, come on, keep on coming. You got a few more, come on. You don't have to worry about him, you know, tricking you. And he's over there, then he's over there, then he's over there. That would be a devil's trick. And the Lord doesn't do that. So, the love of darkness should be passed. As a Christian, you ought to be able to look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and say, I need to go get before the Lord and get before the Lord. And not love the camouflage, the cover of darkness, so that you're hiding from what you are. I'd like to say this as well. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. There's these things kind of flow together from here. 1 John 1. A verse all of us can quote. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. From 2 Corinthians 11, we learn that that light hath no communion with darkness. So there's something else that's true. If the light is, if the darkness is past, the power of darkness is past, the mystery of darkness is past, the uncertainty of darkness is past, the love of darkness should be past, and the linkage with darkness should be past. Because if you love God, you should love the light. And so you should not feel any longer an intimate connection with the darkness. You should not long for the darkness. You should not desire intimate association, intimate connection with darkness. Some of those things should start falling off. Now, I'm not saying that you have to ever get a chance to quit, you ever quit working at trying to grow closer to God. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come in contact with the light, it ought to be clear to you that there are some things in your life that need to go. And because of your association, your linkage with the light, since light and dark are not linked, then there's some dark parts that need to just go. Look at another way of saying this. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. I'm not saying that anything is automatic. I'm not making it a thing where, you know, if you are still doing this, then you're not saved. That's not where I'm coming from at all. I'm simply saying that everyone here ought to be able to acknowledge that when I came in contact with the light, there are some things that had to go. Ephesians 5. Again, I'm moving quickly now. I know I didn't earlier, but I am now. Ephesians 5, notice down in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There are two mentions of the works of darkness. So the linkage with darkness is past. The works of darkness should become a thing of the past. For a believer, ladies and gentlemen, the key is the light. The key is the book. The key is the Word of God. And if the Word of God is what fills your eyes and your mind and your heart and your time and your energy, there ought to be some stuff that starts falling off. There ought to be some scales that start falling to the ground. Right? Because now you're of the light. For the believer, the key is light. And you have to keep the light on. You have to keep the light, the lamp, trimmed and burning bright, or else the darkness starts creeping in as things get duller and dimmer. But for you as a child of the light, the works of darkness should start to lose their shine and lose their appeal. Amen? I got one last thing. Look in Luke chapter 1, then I'll be done. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, all the way down at the end of the chapter. Verse 77, we are reading about the Lord Jesus Christ who came to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, that light, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so the darkness has passed, so the power of it should be gone. The mystery of it should be past. The uncertainty of it past. The love of it, a linkage with it, the works of it should be fading. And the one last thing I would mention is, so death in darkness should be past. For 6,000 years, men have died in darkness. There's been somebody that's always gone out into oblivion, screaming, not knowing, blinded in their lives and hearts and minds for the entirety of their lives, and out they go, still blind, screaming. They land in a lake of fire where they scream forevermore. Outer darkness. It is sure a joy that we don't have to die in darkness. You know, I looked it up, and it's kind of curious because it mentions death, the shadow of death there, and darkness. 12 times darkness and the shadow of death show up in the same verse in the Bible. Interestingly, that's a Jewish number. I don't mean to preach on that. I'm just mentioning it as such. But I'm glad that, you know, we have history written where men no longer have to die in darkness. One of those great old Christians said, I leave this life as a boy bounding away from school on the last school day. He said, how have I dreaded as an enemy this smiling friend? Don't have to die in darkness. Now, I'm not planning to die today, but boy, nobody has to die in darkness. Are you one that would today? If you died today, would you die in darkness? Because you shouldn't. Jesus Christ was the light of the world, came and died for your sins, wrote an entire book, preserved it for you, left it for you. If you haven't been a scholar of it, you failed in that. True. But He left it so you wouldn't have to die not knowing where you were going. So you don't have to die in darkness. The answer is the Lord. But the answer, as much as it's the Lord, is the light. Is the light that showed you the Lord to start with. Because it showed you about yourself. And it revealed all the things you didn't know. The mystery, the uncertainty, the blackness, the hopelessness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the darkness is past. So all those things should be past too. It's great news. John wraps up an awful lot of good news in four words. The darkness is past. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.